Hello, I'm Misa Hopkins, host of Women of Power and Spirit, Healing and Awakening in the Sacred Feminine. In this series, we're exploring the depths of the Sacred Feminine in real life. When I refer to the Sacred Feminine, I'm talking about the kind of energetic qualities or yin nature within all of us that is necessary for living a balanced, healthy, and happy life. The qualities of the Sacred Feminine or yin nature of a person include stillness, compassion, receptivity, intuition, creativity, that deep, quiet place within us that beckons us to open more fully to our potential, not through more action, but rather through greater clarity and inner peace. I've met many women that have nearly died or did die and returned because their lives were spinning out of balance in their desire to achieve or in their attachments to beliefs and practices that no longer served them. I'm one of those women, so I know what it takes to finally stop everything and settle into truthful awareness of yourself. Many of us experience moments of revelation when our spiritual gifts open and we are finally able to be who we truly are. In those moments and in the sharing of our stories, every woman can find hope. And now we are going to listen to one of those beautiful stories of hope with my guest today, Dawn James. Dawn is a former corporate executive who became an energy practitioner, speaker, and writer in 2003 following a near-death experience that gave her profound insights about health, higher consciousness, and vibrational frequency. When she returned to the physical world, she was also gifted with the ability to facilitate healing within herself, and others. She has assimilated her knowledge and research on the connections between vibrational frequency, health, and consciousness, and shares that knowledge with us in her new book, Raise Your Vibration, Transform Your Life. Dawn enjoys teaching through lectures, workshops, and retreats, and travels internationally, educating and inspiring others to live a stress-free, healthy, and conscious life. Her website, if you'd like to learn more about her, is www.raiseyourvibration.ca. That's raiseyourvibration.ca. So welcome, Dawn. It's wonderful to have you here.
Hi, Misa. I'm glad to be with you today. Thank you.
Lovely. Well, I'm really looking forward to hearing about your story. It sounds like you've had quite a powerful transformation.
Yes, it was a very big wake-up call in 2003.
Shall we start there? Shall we start with what happened in 2003? What was going on in your life at that pivotal moment?
Well, you somewhat summed it up in your introduction. I was listening to the introduction of the show in that I had spent over 20 years working in a profession that I was very comfortable in, and to someone looking on the outside in, I was very successful in my career, but I did not have that sense of joy or fulfillment. And the closer I got to that very pivotal moment in 2003, I felt so detached from what I was doing, and I really felt like I had not chosen wisely. I was not doing what I was really here to do. So that detachment was very profound, and what spun out of control for me was my health. My health started to deteriorate, and the stress kept building. And Spirit has a very strong way of getting my attention. So in 2003, about 3 months before I went to the hospital, I stopped having the desire to eat, and my appetite just kept getting very low. I had no appetite towards the last 3 weeks. And 21 days, I remember, I lived on water, if you can imagine. So here I am, detached mentally, detached physically. I don't want any food. I took myself to the hospital, and I said, you got to check what's going on. I don't feel well. Something's going on. I feel like something's coming. And of course, they took me in and they did a number of tests. But if you've ever gone to the hospital, Misa, it seems like eternity. And I was lying in the hospital bed waiting for the doctor to come back and tell me something. And while I was lying there, I just started to feel my body get very, very dense and light at the same time. And in a matter of seconds, I literally just drifted away. My consciousness left my physical body. And I remember leaving the room, I saw the hospital, I kept going further and further away, and within seconds I could see the entire planet from a very far away point. And that's when I realized what the bleep's going on. I was really shocked because I had never felt conscious without being in my physical body. And then at the same time, I was trying to imagine, where am I?
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't anywhere near this planet, and I could see the Earth from where I went. And what followed that, I don't know how long it lasted, I had a true spiritual awakening, and I felt nothing but love, and all I felt was light. And when everything was over, I don't know how long it took, but when I opened my eyes, I could look at my hands. And I took a breath and I thought, oh my gosh, I came back. I came back. So in that moment of truly not knowing whether I was going to go away permanently or not, I realized that I was actually a spiritual being. And I had this consciousness. And what's more profound for me was that while I was out realizing this, I connected to every living thing on the planet for a few seconds with an immense feeling of joy and love, and it's indescribable. So that was
like
my wake-up call.
I guess that was a wake-up call and an awakening call, all of it.
All
that
of it.
That beautiful, yes, connection to everything and to experience that love and that light. So you really took yourself right to death in order to experience life. Is that fair?
Yeah, because I remembered my heartbeat was slowing down while I was lying on the hospital bed. And I just felt like things were just slowing down. And then I heard, boop, and that was the last beat, and I was gone. It happened so quickly. There was no pain. But when I came back, my entire world changed. My entire perception of life changed in that moment.
Would you talk about that? What changed?
Well, one of the first things I noticed when I came back was I had this great need to be outside. I needed to feel like I was part of this earth. And I spent hours and hours outside in the sun and walking. And there were a lot of trees where we lived. I spent hours outside. I felt alive when I was outside. When I was in the house, I didn't feel I was alive. But in terms of my physical changes, my vision, my sight, my hearing, all of my senses became heightened. And then I'd call it... felt like Niagara Falls had fallen into my head. Basically, I was extremely intuitive, and it was so intense and was so raw that I had a hard time being in a room with more than three or four people. I was actually overwhelmed with knowing. I was overwhelmed with information, past, present, future. Everything was all coming at me all at once. And that took me over a year to sort of temper that down. In terms of my connection to spirit, that's when I discovered through different breathing techniques I was guided to do intuitively, I could connect to various energies and move energies through me, and that's when I started to explore the healing arts, and I started looking to find out more about Reiki and pranic healing, and I started exploring all of the healing modalities later that year because of the way I was responding to energy.
Mm-hmm. significant changes.
Major.
Or if it sounds, what I'm hearing is that everything was open. You were wide open. Your now was very broad. It wasn't the way we think of now in our normal day-to-day life, but now in the greater sense of what it is.
Yeah, it was very profound, mm-hmm. very profound. And I know for some of our listeners, they can relate that you can be so open to the point of distraction because the amount of information, which is truly light, that flows through you when you've been through a spiritual awakening, it can be very overwhelming for some people, and they might feel very unsettled. And I quickly learned, one afternoon we went to a basketball game. My children played basketball, and there were about 120 parents sitting in the gymnasium, and, you know, we're cheering on the team. But at one point, everybody was cheering, and that's when it hit me. I felt like I was going to shatter into a million pieces. The emotion was so strong, I actually ran out of the gym, ran across the parking lot, got into the car, shut the door to keep from breaking. I thought I was literally going to shatter because the emotions were so intense. And that's when I realized how sensitive I was, that I could not be in a room full of people like that.
Were you finally able to? Did you find a way to integrate the energy?
It took a while. It really took a while. I came from a corporate world, and we don't talk about energy and spirituality. And none of my peers, coworkers, none of the people I knew could understand what I was going through. So you really feel lonely, alone, isolated. And, of course, there's all this anxiety about how do I express this? People will think I'm crazy. So for me, the challenge was sorting it out without a teacher, without a lot of guidance. And I'm happy to say most of my guidance came from spirit in the beginning. And when I found a way, I reached out to the healing community, and I found some wonderful healers along the way that helped give me some language to what I was going through, because I didn't have the language. I didn't have the language to know about Kundalini, for instance. I didn't have the language to know about the chakras originally. Everything came to me, and over time, I built up the vocabulary of what was actually happening. So yeah, after about 8 months, things sort of settled down, and then I started to hone in on the healing part of what I came back to do, and that's what I focused on initially was the healing. Mm-hmm. And a few years later I started writing.
So you've written, did you write about this experience, or were you writing about healing? Tell me about that.
I actually, it's funny you mentioned that. The first day I came home from the hospital, I woke up, I can't explain it, but I woke up with the birds. I felt like I was outside flying with the birds, and I woke up at sunrise, and I just started journaling. So I have journaled my experiences that I had when I came back, because Misa, what I don't share with a lot of people, which I'll share with you today, I had 24 other spiritual experiences the first 8 months. I had 24, and they were as intense as the first one. Mm. So while I was documenting this, I was trying to make sense of why it was happening to me. But I'm not ready to share that first 8 months with the world. I do have a nice journal that I kept track of all the different things I learned, where I went, the teachings I received. And When I found a way to articulate this, this is how I ended up writing the book. The book's not about me. It's really about you, how to raise your vibration. Similar to the way that I learned how to raise mine intuitively, I wanted to share with everyone how to get there without having a near-death experience.
I'm also picking up, Don, and I'm just curious if this is true, that 8 months of experiences had to have just totally, that's like total immersion. In other words, you're not going to return to the way life was after 8 months of those kinds of experiences. You're truly present and awake to the divine within you. And so your life had to transform. There wouldn't be any shaking it off. There wouldn't be any, oh, my God, that was a powerful experience, but returning to old patterns would there. Is that true? Did it really just shake up everything completely?
My life changed in one day. I'll give you two examples, and truly it went from, let's say it happened on a Thursday. Friday, I'm home. I go through the house, Misa, I unplugged all the cordless phones, I disconnected the microwave, we threw out the microwave, stopped eating meat, changed my entire diet. This was all within 24 hours of coming back home.
Mm-hmm.
So at the time I had three children, my husband and I had three children under the age of 12, and I didn't get into the details with the children. They were too young. But my husband knew I was having a difficult time with certain energies, such as the cell phone and the TV and the everything. Anything electronic, wireless, I had a problem. Mm-hmm. But also I had a problem with negative energy. And within a few days, we had a chat with the children, and we said, you know what? We're going to go TV free. So one of the first things we did as a family was we took the TV off for what should have been a year, ended up being almost 5 years. And it was because of the negativity. I mean, the TV didn't even have to be turned on. I felt very drained. Mm-hmm. The news, the media, everything, it was really bothering me. And as a family, I have to say it was one of the best things we did. In terms of my career, I had zero interest in returning to that world. And so the challenge for me was, how do I redefine myself now? What am I going to do now? What's my purpose? You know, how am I going to sustain, you know, our lifestyle, knowing that I can't go back to that world? I did a lot of soul searching for about a year and a half, a lot of soul searching, until I realized why I came back. And so I kept asking Spirit, why me? Why do I, you know, why am I here? What do you want from me?
Mm-hmm.
And finally the answer ended up being a question. And the question was, what do you love to do? And I sat there on my bed, and I kept writing all of the things I love doing. And Misa, no matter what I wrote, everything had the same answer. I love to teach. I love to teach. And so I said, okay, maybe I need to teach others what I learned, which was how to be more conscious, how to be more loving, how to be aware of what I'm creating every day. And more importantly, be aware of all of the energies and frequencies around us. How are they impacting us, our thoughts, our emotions, our relationships? And it took me a few years, but I found a way to articulate that. And I'm just very grateful that I was able to start my writing career and, you know, just connect to so many beautiful people around the planet. It's been a marvelous journey. The people who knew me before 2003 say, what are you doing? You look amazing. You look younger than you did 9 years ago. What are you doing? And I said, I'm just doing what I love. I love what I do, and I'm doing what I love. That's my answer.
That's beautiful. So let's go back in time a little bit just so that our listeners can get a sense of this journey kind of stretched out in time a bit, because 2003 was a pivotal moment of powerful awakening that transformed. It doesn't really transform. That's not the right word. We use it a lot, but it's that awareness of who you really are and what is really, really significant, and how much distraction we create and how much other stuff we create. That's that, as you were saying earlier, I wasn't doing what I was here to do. It's like, in my own experience, I remember doing a lot of things that were really good and wonderful, but they weren't exactly what I was here to do. And it's almost as if there was this realization that my life had been, a lot of it has been a big distraction. Not all of it, but certain elements of it had been. And the illness takes you to a place where there are no more distractions. They're just gone, because you can't be present to anything more than your spirit, because even your body was shutting down. So what I'm hearing is all that was present was your spirit. So would you talk about kind of how much time do you think there may have been a part of your life where you knew you weren't doing what you were here to do, that unsettling, that sense of dissatisfaction? Can you talk? We don't want to linger there, but I want our listeners to know that we all go through this. So would you talk about what it was like for you?
Oh, absolutely. When I started my career back in the 80s, you know, you're excited and you've got energy and, you know, you want to achieve and make your mark on the world. And that was all well and good in the beginning. But somewhere around, probably inching up to the year 2000, I started to feel somewhat detached. And you get to the point where you feel like, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, I'm doing what I have to do, but then you start feeling mechanical, like you're going through the motions of what you're doing. And so you're not fully, like you said, you're not fully present or engaged. Although on the outside looking in, you're very effective at what you do. So for me, my career kept climbing over the 20-plus years, all the way up to, you know, general manager of a multinational corporation. So things kept going up, 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 up. But in terms of spirituality, my spirit was basically dying. And so that disparity between, you know, career and purpose, calling, got wider and wider. And as I said, I just became more and more detached mentally and then emotionally. And that's when things started going out of control, because my physical body was reacting to this disparity between what I'm doing and what I really should be doing. And it's no different than a migraine. You know, people get a headache and you think, well, why do you have a headache? Well, maybe you're avoiding something and that tension is building up and translating into a headache, but it's really, you know, there could be an issue you're trying to avoid. So the body started shutting down, as you said, and for me, it truly was to get my attention, I believe. Get my attention, because I was so comfortable in this groove of going to work and doing what I do, and, you know, every 2 weeks and you get paid and you're, quote, successful, end quote. But I think the body shut down in response to getting my attention. And of course, you're lying there in a hospital room by yourself trying to figure out what is going on with you, and then maybe in that moment of quiet, Spirit said, let's remind her why she came here. And I was gone. I was gone in seconds. Mere seconds, I was gone. So I think that disparity that we feel when we don't acknowledge it and we don't take time to understand it, I think eventually, you know, we're shown the way. We're shown what our true purpose is. And for me, it was, you know, truly being spiritual and not attached to the physical world, quite literally disconnected. So I had an opportunity to fully embrace what I truly am, which is a spiritual being. Had it not been for that trip to the hospital, I don't think I would have embraced the opportunity to know what it is to be a spiritual being. So I'm very grateful for that, and I'm grateful for all of the lessons I learned those first 8 months, because that's what keeps me going. That's what keeps me going, doing what I do. And I just know everything will be fine because I'm on my right path now.
Mm-hmm. Don, I'm wondering, was there a moment in that period of time when you were beginning to kind of get on autopilot, you know? It's like, it's not quite what I'm here to do, but it's good. it's working okay. Is there a point now where you would look back if you were coaching yourself and you would say, right there, in that moment in time, if I had made this choice or if I had intervened with myself, then I might not have needed, not that there's anything wrong with crossing over and coming back, which I think it's a fabulous experience, but without having to put your body through that stress, let's put it that way. Was there a moment that you think it might have, you would coach yourself to maybe look at it differently?
No, I'm going to say no. And the reason why I'm going to say no on that is because we got to go back to 1969. Can I take you there for a second?
Sure. I'm back. I'm in 69.
Okay. The reason I say no so emphatically is when I came back and I got home, I called my dad and I said, Dad, you wouldn't believe what just happened to me. And I told him everything, all the nitty-gritty details of what happened when I was in the hospital and where I went and what I saw. My father said to me, I'm not surprised. And I said, what do you mean you're not surprised? And he goes, you may not remember this, he said, but in 1969... this is before I started school. I told my parents I was going to die, and I told them when I was going to die. And I don't remember the year, but all my life I've been living as if I wasn't going to see 40. I spent my entire life living as if I wasn't going to be here to see my 40th birthday. And I've always had that feeling in me since I was a little, I'm talking toddler. So when my dad said, I'm not surprised, I wasn't expecting that response, he reminded me of what I told my parents in 1969. So Misa, go forward to 2003. I don't know the ins and outs of, you know, the book of life, but somewhere in my existence, I must have agreed to this. And somehow I knew before I was even 5 years old that this was coming. I just didn't remember what year. I've always had a feeling I wouldn't be here. So I hate to say no to you, but no. 1969, my dad said I told him. And it makes sense to me because even when I started school, I used to think, oh, my gosh, can we hurry up? And I got so much stuff to do. I don't have much time. Even in grade one, I thought, everything was moving too slow, and I had so much to do, and there was little time to do it. And I've lived my life with that pace. I have a lot to do because I'm not going to be here. I will not see 40. And I died a few 2 years before I turned 40. So it's been in me my whole life. Where is it written? I don't know. But somewhere it was written because I've known this since I was a little kid.
Yeah.
And no, I don't think I would have coached myself differently. To answer your question, when I look back now, 9 years later, I think I had all of the physical experiences I needed, right? I grew up, I got married, I had my kids, mother, wife, career. All of that came to a completion. As my children were hitting the teen years, I then started chapter two. This is your spiritual experience. This is your spiritual side. And I think that's really what happened for me. I finished all of the physical stuff. I made enough room now for the spiritual side of what I was all about. Mm-hmm. That's what I believe to be true. And so that's how I've been feeling for the last last almost 9 years. I'm very accepting of the spiritual side of things, and yeah. So 1969, Misa.
Isn't that amazing? Yes,
oh, yeah.
And there is that knowingness that lives within us from the time that we're little about what our lives really are about and how it's going to flow. And I think it's fabulous that your father was, that you had that kind of bond, that you could share your experience, that he could listen with that kind of depth and feed that back to you so you could see that that journey was imprinted in you. And you were fulfilling
it. Yeah, and he's been a wonderful, he's a fantastic teacher for me, because long before I knew the benefits of, you know, holistic health, my dad is an extremely healthy, you know, doing yoga for over 50 years. He knows how to take care of himself. So he's been my mentor in a lot of ways. When I woke up in 2003, I really looked to his wisdom to get me to incorporate that holistic lifestyle that I have now.
How fabulous. How fabulous. And I just want to clarify, that question was not in any way intended to say there was anything wrong with your life. I share the path that you've chosen. I hear its perfection. I was conscious that there are times when people come to me to quest, to be still with the mother, as you're talking about that need to be outside, where you fast. You are only drinking usually water, if you're having anything at all, for several days, and just being still enough inside that you really are meeting your true self, if you choose to go
into that
space in a conscious way, as opposed to one that so many of us have done, me included, where, you know, you go into some pretty serious illness or a withdrawal from your body to do it, not necessarily in a conscious way, but as you have so beautifully pointed out, it was written. So through some part of your spirit and your soul, it was conscious.
I believe so, yes.
Mm-hmm. It was known. So you talked about that understanding of vibration and energy that you now teach others. I would interpret as pathways to accessing that energy, that awareness for themselves. Would you like to talk a little bit about that? What did you discover that you're now sharing?
Well, as I started, when I came back, as I said, energetically, I was very connected to living things beyond, you know, in the spiritual realm, when I came back physically. And over the course of, I'd say, the first 2.5 years, I started noticing there were things that I would be attracted to that were of a more higher vibration, a higher frequency, and the things that I was really not wanting to get involved with, be it food or even people. Many people who love to gossip stopped talking to me because many of the behaviors that were no longer serving me ended up being what I refer to as lower frequency behaviors. And so I'm going to just go forward a little bit. In 2005, I had a very interesting dream, and a lady in that dream gave me a very profound message. And when I woke up, the light bulb went on, and I connected the dots, and I realized that when I had left and come back, what had happened to me on an energetic level was I started to vibrate at a very high frequency. The higher the frequency, the lighter, the more subtle life becomes. So you become very sensitive to higher energies, and, you know, the intuitive capabilities go up. On the flip side, what I got from her message was that there are frequencies that are not healthy for us, that actually promote disease, illness, and weakness. And it just opened up like a floodgate. I started to just assimilate everything I had been doing for the last 2.5 years. Uh-huh. And so vibrational frequency became my quest. I wanted to be able to articulate it and help people understand there's a connection between how we can move that energy up what happens when it's lowered or suppressed, what impact it has on our health physically, mentally, emotionally. Because what I had seen over the last couple of years with my own frequency is not just an improvement in health, but my whole outlook on life had changed. And I refer to it in my workshops, you go from stressful to stress-free. When your perception of things change, you really start moving away from seeing things as stressful, and you start to see the world at a different vantage point. So now I look at situations and I see opportunities, I see lessons, I see blessings. I don't see conflict, I don't see resistance, I don't see, that sort of anxiety. I see things as opportunities or lessons or blessings. So the stress factor really, really disappears. And so when I woke up from this dream I was telling you, I started jotting down a whole bunch of things on a piece of paper. And I showed it to my husband, and he looked at it, and he goes, "This looks like a list." And I said, "Yeah, it's funny, eh? It looks like a list." He goes, "I think you're supposed to do something." And I go, "It looks like I'm going to be writing." He goes, "Yeah, I think that's a list of what you have to write about." And he was totally correct. And that's when I started writing about vibrational frequency, health, and consciousness. And I really took all of my experiences I had over the first 2.5 years and put them into subjects such as the vibration of our thoughts, the vibration of our words. How do we change the vibration of our food, like I had done overnight, to help nourish our bodies and give us what we need to be healthy? How do we look at the vibration of the media? What choices do we have there? And so the 21 chapters that I wrote take you through the vibration of life in different subjects so that people can start to create those higher vibrations and start experiencing what I call a higher awareness, living in more harmony with life. And that's really what I started to express in the book, Raise Your Vibration.
Mm-hmm. This seems really significant to me, Dawn. It's not that, what I hear you saying is that it's not that events or circumstances don't still come up. They do.
They do.
But when your perception of them is that this is part of a greater whole, a harmonious whole, rather than a personal attack on you
yeah.
or the result of something wrong that you did, it's
That's
simply
right.
that the reflect simply is not a fair word because it's elegantly might be a better description. It's an elegant new perspective.
Yes.
And therefore, the way that every cell in your body responds is completely different. Is that a fair summary of what you're speaking to?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's like, you could look at, you could be on the highway and you're in a traffic jam. And I'm sure you've seen drivers. They're upset. They're honking. They're waving their hands in the car. The traffic is not moving. No matter what you do, you can jump up and down, turn blue, it won't move. So you can respond in a very anxious, stressful way, or you could actually say, you know what, this is the quietest moment I've had all day. I'm in my car, I'm by myself, and seize the opportunity to reflect on a few things, because chances are, you're not talking on a phone, I hope not. You're not texting anybody. You're in your car, it's quiet, and it's a time to reflect. It's amazing what you think about when you're in your car and you've got no place to go. So
yeah.
There's different options, and I think that's the key message I have, is when you learn to raise your vibration, you're going to remember that you have a choice, and you're going to remember that you can be conscious in making choices instead of unconscious. And I think that's one of the most significant messages I share. We can choose to be conscious and we can choose how to respond to life, but we have to remember that we're free to choose. And we have to remember that we have the power to create. to create the higher vibrations. We don't have to accept what is. We can be co-creators, and I think that's a very important message that we need to remember, especially nowadays where we're bombarded with technologies, we're bombarded with messages coming at us, as opposed to us really actively participating in our experience. A lot of things is coming at us, like we're being entertained. I don't know if you feel the same way. There tends to be a lot of passiveness going on because we're being fed and entertained and visually stimulated. And I think when are we going to engage that conscious being that we all have? When are we going to take a moment to reflect and respond, reflect and create, you know, without the distractions? As I love the way you put it, many distractions.
Well, we get used to it, and we've entered into a time in human evolution when we have been about achievement. And that's about doing, and it's about filling the space. It's about activity. And when we give ourselves that permission and or our bodies shut down, and so that's all that's left, is the stillness of our being. That's when
right.
we really connect to that vibrational frequency that you're talking about. It comes out of the stillness, not out of all of the activity. Would you agree with that? Was that your experience?
I would. No, I would agree with that. I think for me, I went from being a, you know, once upon a time, Misa, I had a 3-page to-do list. So my Mondays, I started with this 3-page to-do list. I went to work, and I was going to get everything on that list done in, you know, 10 hours or less. And I went from that poor little person to really enjoying the stillness. And it's in those moments of silence, that's when we're truly free. We are truly free at those times, because anything's possible. Anything is possible. And so one of the things I did intentionally in sharing my teachings with others in Raise Your Vibration is that the 21 chapters, each chapter has exercises and techniques to develop that joy of being still and develop the joy of embracing the silence and also tuning up what I call our divine wisdom. So all of those exercises and techniques throughout the book help you develop that ability. And what I noticed within days is that the ego shuts down. I call it demote. We demote the ego so you don't feel fear, pain, anxiety anymore. And we promote that inner wisdom and allow that inner wisdom to guide us, because it never misguides us. That inner wisdom is all about truth and love on a divine level. So that is what is reinforced throughout the book, is to embrace the inner wisdom and know that we're free to choose. So by practicing those techniques and exercises, it just becomes who you are. It's no longer an effort. You don't have to remember to do anything. It becomes you. There's 3 breathing techniques in the book. It just becomes you. I do them all the time. I don't even think about it now because it is me. It's not something I'm doing. It's something that I am.
Yeah.
So that's a much different perception of life when it's not what you do, it's what you are, how you are, what you create. It's a whole new ballgame.
It is, because what's reflected in your world is a reflection of who you are, and it no longer takes effort. It simply is. And that's when life starts becoming joyful.
That's right. Is
there an exercise you could share with us? And by all means, share what you wanted to first.
You're just coming up to that. There's 2 or 3 things that I do on a regular basis that just maintains that vibration, that level that we want to live at and operate at. finding those moments of quiet is very important. And so I have something called the art of doing nothing 3 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
So my challenge to everyone listening is to do this. Tomorrow morning, when your alarm goes off, don't leave the bed. I want you to stay there for 5 minutes, and I want you to lie on your back and do some very deep belly breathing. And belly breathing is where, when you inhale the breath, you allow the tummy to rise, and when you exhale, you allow it to fall. So that's exercise number one. Be still and take in the breath, because the breath not only brings oxygen, it brings prana or chi. It's that life force energy. That's going to fuel you for the rest of the day. The second thing that I love to do is affirmations. So for me, an affirmation is a positive statement that you repeat, you say, and it should be aligned with your values or where you are in life at this moment or just where you want to be. And so I start my day with an affirmation every day. Can I share the one I've been saying this year?
Please.
Okay. So at the beginning of January, I went outside, and I do this every morning. I go outside. We've got two puppies, and while they're running around, I just look up at the sun, and I stand outside, and I say this: the universe supports all that I do. That is it. The universe supports all that I do. And I started saying this in January, and you know what started to happen? The phone would ring, invitations to teach, invitations to come out and teach workshops, just people asking me if I'm still playing the crystal bowls, if I'd come out and do, you know, an event. And so I try and perform for the spring, summer, winter, fall. But since I started saying that simple affirmation, I really don't have plans beyond maybe a week or two. And so, Misa, I'm allowing the universe, I'm giving permission for the universe to support me. And I'm not stating the what or the when or the how. It's just unfolding. So it's been a very beautiful journey this year. We've had a number of new developments happening in the next little while. But I just wanted to share that an affirmation, when you say the words and you feel the words and you know what they mean, it truly starts to create what you're saying. Another affirmation that I love to say is, love is all I am. Love is all I have. Love is all I need. Love is all I give. Mm-hmm. And this is something that was, I guess, showed up in my life about 3 days after my near-death experience. I was lying in bed one morning, and I just felt that profound sense of love, and I started to say it, love is all I am, love is all I have, love is all I need, love is all I give. And I kept saying it and saying it and saying it, and my heart just got warmer and warmer and warmer, and it set the tone for, I'm talking weeks. Mm-hmm. And so by embracing the positive words, it not only changes our emotional and mental state, it also sends out a ripple effect around us, and the universe is listening. So our words are truly powerful, and I really encourage people to embrace the power of affirmations.
Yes.
I'd like to also invite our listeners to get a copy of my free ebook. It's called Change Your Words, Change Your Vibration. And I've actually listed all of my favorite affirmations over the last 8 years in a little booklet. And I really would encourage everyone to visit the site and just download it. It's a free ebook called Change Your Words, Change Your Vibration.
Beautiful. Now, where did they get that?
The website is www.raiseyourvibration.ca.
Fabulous. That's fabulous. Is there anything that you'd like to leave us with in closing?
Yeah, I guess we have a few new developments happening in the next few weeks. One of them is that the book is currently, Raise Your Vibration, is currently in paperback. I'm very happy to announce that on December 15th, Raise Your Vibration will be available in ebook. And that will be both on our website and Amazon.com, Amazon UK, and a number of online stores around the world. And the last thing, again, I just want to mention, for anyone out there who speaks Spanish, Raise Your Vibration will be available in Spanish in January. And I'm very, very excited and pleased with the support we've had and the encouragement we've received all over the world. And I truly hope that this global message will not just help other people raise their vibration, but I think in doing what we do personally, we're going to help the planet as well, because there's a very strong connection. As you know, Misa, the more conscious we are of what we're doing, what we're creating, what we're consuming, I believe we have a higher chance of really coexisting in more harmony and respect with the planet, because, you know, we all share this one little blue ball, and we need to take better care of this planet because this is home. So I think by raising our consciousness, I believe we're going to also help raise the consciousness of the planet and just start living in more harmony. So yeah,
Absolutely.
I encourage you to visit the site. We're going to have some free audio programs for Christmas and a free ebook and some other really exciting things as well.
Oh, it sounds like a fun place to play, Dawn.
That's what we're hoping. It's supposed to be a fun education site. So, a lot of new goodies coming on December the 15th.
Oh, perfect, in time for the holidays, so we can raise our vibration and celebrate together and celebrate each other and Mother Earth. It sounds really good to me.
Absolutely.
I
Sounds
love
good.
it. I love it. Oh, well, thank you so much, first of all, for beautiful, beautiful gifts that you're bringing to the planet and that you are for the planet. One thing I do know is that when each of us makes that commitment, because it is a commitment, to awaken, to open ourselves, then we are the gift. We are that precious gift because we are vibrating differently. And that is a gift to every person that meets you, that gets to touch you and spend time with you. It's like, oh, that's that vibration that I'm wanting to remember in me. And so we awaken each other in this beautiful unfolding, each flower opening, and hearing about your journey, I'm just savoring you and grateful for you, for everything that you did, for every commitment you made to open that doorway of awareness within you, and then to so graciously share the gift of you with the planet. Thank you.
Thank you for having me on your show. I thank the universe for connecting us, and there's no randomness in the universe, so thank you very much. I really enjoyed speaking with you, and I know our paths will cross again.
I expect. I hope.
Absolutely. I'm a traveler now, so I'm sure I'll be seeing you sooner than later.
Oh, good. That would be wonderful. I'll give you all the locations where I am.
Please do, please
We
do. I have a great
can.
travel agent.
You've got the best. Oh, well, thank you again, Dawn. And thank you to all of our listeners today who, in the non-randomness of the universe, who knew you needed to be here, who knew you needed to hear Dawn's story. Just thank you for your diligence, for your courage, for your commitment, for the love in your heart that brought you here today, the love that keeps you motivated in doing the good work that you do on behalf of yourself and your family and humanity and the planet. It's a powerful time that we live in, and it's powerful because of you, because you are willing to be present over and over again. So for this wonderful and grand journey, I'm grateful to be here with all of you. I'm grateful that there are so many wonderful women of power and spirit in the world. And with that, I'll say adieu until we meet again to meet our next woman of power and spirit.